Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you guys the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody had a blessed weekend. Got a lot of stuff going on for you today. We're going to hit it running fast today. And how are you doing, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful, buddy. I've got a lot of requests that have been coming in to my personal email list of people wanting me to kind of tie together some of these concepts that I've been talking about. So get your seatbelt on, because we're going to go kind of quick through this. This will be one of these interviews you're going to want to send to your friends, because for about the next 10-15 minutes, I'm going to tie together a bunch of loose pieces. I'm going to talk about Delphi technique, Hegelian dialectic, the Frankfurt School, Tavistock, what and who Timothy McVeigh really was with the Oklahoma bombing, why they blew up the Murrow Building there in Oklahoma City. We're going to tie it to Gulf War syndrome. We're going to tie it to Enron with 9/11, the Enron, what happened in California. We're also going to tie it together with the Pentagon files. I mean, all of these different things are going to kind of come together in one little neat package right now, or at least I'm going to attempt to. Now, some of you may say, well, you missed this and you missed that, and you're probably right. I probably will miss this. I probably will miss that, but I'm going to do the best I possibly can to tie it together. We're going to start with the Tavistock Institute. I started talking about this the other day, and I really only briefly mentioned that it was formed in 1947 as an institute of independent, non-for-profit organization that seeks to combine research in the social sciences with the professional practices. It also was picked up by the RAND Corporation. It's the ideology of American Foundations was created by the Tavistock Institute of Human Relations in London back in 1921. The Duke of Bedford, Marquis of Tagastock, the 11th Duke, gave a building to the Institute to study the effect of shell shock on British soldiers who survived World War I because it had split their personalities. Its purpose was to establish the breaking point of men under stress under the direction of the British Army Psychological Warfare commanded by Sir John Rawlings Rees. Now, this article is by Weeks. Tavistock Institute is headquartered in London. Its prophet is Sigmund Freud. Remember, he is a Sabbatean Kabbalist. He is a Luciferian. He was a Satanist, is basically these way to put it. He was actually taken over to England, settled in Marsfield Gardens, where he moved to England. He was given a mansion by Princess Bonaparte. Tavistock's pioneer work in behavioral sciences, along with Freudian lines of controlling humans, established it as the world center of foundation ideology. Now, I'm going to say this very quickly. Human beings are being manipulated left and right on the planet. Why are they doing this? Because they can. They have studied human beings and the psyche of the human being now for hundreds of years in depth. In fact, it goes all the way back to Plato and Aristotle. And it just is one of those things they know how to do. Tavistock Institute developed the mass brainwashing techniques that were first used experimentally on American prisoners of war in Korea. Its experiments in crowd control methods have been widely used on the American public. A surreptitious but nevertheless outraged assault on human freedom by modifying individual behavior through topical psychology. A German refugee, German Jewish refugee, Kurt Lewin, who fled Nazi Germany, became the director of Tavistock in 1932. He came to 1933 as a refugee from Germany, the first of many infiltrators, and set up the Harvard Psychology Clinic, which originated the propaganda campaign to turn the American public against Germany and involve us in World War II using Freudian and Tavistock concepts. Always remember, the Frankfurt School also started in Germany from the Marxists, from Lenin and Karl Marx, and from all of the guys who did the Russian Revolution. It moved to Columbia. So these are two separate schools that were working together for the same end. One was at Harvard, one was at Columbia. And of course, we have Cloward and Piven that came from Columbia, and that's basically the Cloward and Piven technique. The Tavistock Institute originated the mass civilian bombing raids carried out by Roosevelt and Churchill purely as clinical experiment in mass terror. I'm going to repeat that. The Tavistock Institute originated and caused the mass civilian bombing raids carried out by Roosevelt and Churchill purely as a clinical experiment in mass terror, keeping records of the results as they watched the guinea pigs reacting under controlled laboratory conditions of being bombed to death. All Tavistock and American Foundation techniques have a single goal, to break down the psychological strength of the individual and render him helpless to oppose the dictators of the New World Order. Any technique which helps to break down the family unit and family inculcated principles of religion, honor, patriotism, and sexual behavior is used by Tavistock scientists as weapons of control and crowd control. Now also remember, the bombings were also being used as a human sacrifice to Lucifer. They were basically being offered to Lucifer. Always remember this, Winston Churchill was a druid. You can look it up under his Wikipedia page. He was a druid. He was a Satan worshiper. I mean, it doesn't get much worse than that guy, but that's who he is. The next technique is being used, the Delphi technique. It is with group meetings. And what they'll do, you'll see more and more meetings and citizens being invited to participate in various forms of meetings, council, or boards to help determine public policy in one field or another. They're supposedly being included to get input from the public to help officials make final decisions on taxes, education, community growth, or whatever the particular subject matter might be. Sometimes you'll see these types of meetings being done on chemtrails. The people show up, talk about chemtrails or fluoride in the water. And you, Mr. and Mrs. Citizen, you decide to take part in one of these meetings. The process used to facilitate the meeting is called the Delphi Technique. The Delphi Technique was developed by the RAND Corporation, there that is again, for the U.S. Department of Defense back in the 50s. It was originally intended to be used as a psychological weapon during the Cold War. However, it was soon recognized that the steps of Delphi could be very valuable in manipulating any meeting towards a predetermined end. And what they do, they set up about 10 or 12 people inside of the meeting room when they have a really important policy system that has to be done. And we saw this very, very clearly when we saw Senator McCain publicly try to humiliate Rand Paul with this bringing this the country into NATO months ago. And what they do, the person who is in control of the meeting who is speaking, they will belittle the person who is giving them contrary opinions and make fun of them, try to destroy them psychologically in front of the group to try to get together a group think. This is why you hear them say, you only have 30 seconds to speak. If you don't leave within 30 seconds, we're going to have the police take you out. This is Delphi technique.
Yep.
Because they don't want the people who have a legitimate complaint, who understand what fluoridation does, or want to question legitimately about 9/11, or who want to talk about chemtrails and all these different concepts. They don't want these concepts to be brought out, and they know that most people in 30 seconds or 60 seconds or 90 seconds can't formulate their thought process quickly enough in order to say this. Now, they may not have anybody else who wants to speak, but that person who wanted to speak and say something, they're not allowed to speak again. And many times they are taken out in handcuffs. They also do this at school board meetings all around the country. This is a Delphi technique protocol that these guys are taught. The facilitators are trained to recognize potential opponents and how to make such people appear aggressive, foolish, extremists, etc. Once this is done, the facilitators establishes himself or herself as the friend of the rest of the audience. And the problem with this is, people don't understand what's being done to them, and they're being led to groupthink. And the people who are being ridiculed publicly either just shut up or taken out forcefully or can change their opinions because of the peer pressure. This happens all of the time in group meetings, in council meetings. You won't be able to give your full thought. If it may take you 10 minutes to do a presentation, they won't do it. They're going to give you 90 seconds or 3 minutes, and that's the end of it because they're controlling the meeting. That is known as the Delphi technique. This type of mind control technique to use in groupthink. Now, let's look at Saul Alinsky, who was the hero of Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and what he did. Now, he died back in 72, but his writings have influenced those who control the political system today because basically he was another communist. And he wrote his Rules for Radicals, and what he said was this: there's 8 rules in play. Number one, you have to control health care, and you control the people. That's why Obama pushed the health care system through. That's why McCain refused to let it go down because he's part of this protocol. Poverty. You increase the poverty level as high as possible because poor people are easier to control and will not fight back if you're providing everything for them to live. In other words, 50 million people on food stamps. Debt. You increase the debt to an unsustainable level. That way you're able to increase taxes that will produce more poverty. Gun control. You have to remove the ability of people to defend themselves from the government. That way you can create a police state. This is all from Rules to Radicals, guys. This is what Hillary and Obama were doing. Number 5 is welfare. You take control of every aspect of people's lives: food, housing, and income. Obama signed multiple executive orders to do that. Education. You take control of what the people read and listen to. You take control of what your children learn in school. Number 7, religion. Remove the belief in God from the government and schools. That's what they've done back in the 60s. Again, it's all of this was part of that communist indoctrination through the RAND Society and through all these different techniques that I'm telling you right now. You're going to talk to you, they'll have these big meetings in these classrooms, and they continually put people down. And the National Education Association is just classic in what they do to people who go against them in a meeting setting, how they tear them to pieces. Class warfare, you divide the people into the wealthy and the poor. This causes more discontent, and it will be easier to take from tax the wealthy to support the poor, because the poor don't understand that when everybody starts having all of their money taken, it's basically tyranny for everyone. Now let's talk about Hegelian dialectic. The Hegelian dialectic is a guy named Hegel. In 1847, the London Communist League, Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels used Hegel's theory of the dialectic to back up their economic theory of communism. Now in the 21st century, Hegelian Marxist thinking affects our entire social and political structure. Again, this went all through the Frankfurt School. This went all through Oxford. This went all through, you know, through Columbia. This went all through Harvard. The Hegelian dialectics are the framework for guiding our thoughts and actions in the conflicts that lead us to a predetermined solution. If you don't understand how the Hegelian dialectic shapes our perceptions of the world, you can't understand how you're being put into a box. That's how you're doing it. What they do, they start with a problem. Number one, we have a problem in the United States. We have too many people with too many guns. So you manufacture a crisis or you take advantage of one already in order to get the action desired. So the problem is too many guns. We can't reduce the people to slavery because they can defend themselves. Reaction. Now you're going to have the public outcry of what's going on. In other words, you have a person who is used as a patsy to shoot a bunch of people up in Vegas, which is a complete and total joke. Never happened. The guy was, the shooting took place, but this guy was not even involved in it. Okay, and then you have the government demanding a solution, which has been predetermined from the beginning. This is exactly what they did with 9/11. The big bad Muslims are running around wanting to blow things up. Muslims had nothing to do with 9/11. It was doggone Mossad and our CIA who did this. And of course, we know that now. But they had to pass the Patriot Act. That was the reaction. The solution was the Patriot Act. The problem was the fact that Muslim terrorists were coming into the United States. Then all of a sudden, they blow up the terror building. Reactions, public outcry, everybody's completely shell-shocked because they learned from Tavistock where they could fracture the public by a massive event like this, like with Pearl Harbor and with this. And now we have the Enabling Act, which we also know as the Patriot Act, which is what has been put into the country to bring us closer and closer and closer into tyranny. Now, I'm tying all of those together to do this. We have a hate American group running around right now in the United States. We know that Saul Alinsky is one of the ones who started it. And we know that it was all gone through all of this stuff, including the Cloward Piven strategy, Saul Alinsky, the left-wing media, which is used to control the Hegelian dialectic, and also used to control the Delphi technique. Here's how the media is used to do Delphi. When they do a presidential debate and they use a moderator and they have people asking questions from the audience, all of those things are using the Delphi technique, being controlled through the left-wing media. Then, of course, you have the psychop that we know, the narrative of the Muslim Brotherhood, which is another psychop being presented to us as the boogeyman. And then you have the real guy who's in charge of a lot of this stuff through the Rothschild banking cartel, George Soros, through his plethora of foundations and his billions and billions of dollars that he gives out. I mean, think about this. He gets billions of left-wing causes, ACORN, National Rights of La Raza, Tides, Planned Parenthood, Southern Poverty Law Center. This goes on and on and on. Black Lives Matter. He wants to curtail America's sovereignty so that America becomes subservient to international bankers. Basically, he's delusional is what he is. He's completely nuts. And then we have number five, which is the environmental control protocols that are being used right now. A lot of people still call this HAARP. And HAARP is one of the components of this, but HAARP is basically old technology now. We're way beyond HAARP now. We have a satellite-based system around the country, around the entire planet right now, which is a control grid that controls the weather. It's kind of like that movie that came out a few months ago about the weather had gone nuts. This is what we actually have built, and it ties together with HAARP, but it's beyond HAARP. We use sea-based radar domes. We use Doppler radar. We use space-based laser systems. We use energy weapons. We have to ionize the plasma in the atmosphere. It all centers on one thing, that is chemtrails. Chemtrails are the linchpin. Chemtrails are the missing link. Chemtrails are the thing that they have to show us they're doing to us, which they keep telling us aren't real, though we can see them, which is ridiculous. That's another one of those mind control techniques. And what they're doing is they're using that to ionize the atmosphere into plasma so that all these weapons work. If we could stop the chemtrails, just stopping the chemtrails and the spraying of the atmosphere, Austin, we could literally stop all of these techniques from working as far as weather control and all of this mind control stuff, because the 5G network won't work properly if you don't have an ionized plasma atmosphere that we're all breathing in. Now, let me tie this all together for you. Timothy McVeigh was a military guy. People don't realize that Timothy McVeigh was actually present at Waco. He saw the government come in and bomb and destroy these people at Waco. He also saw them shooting. They were actually during the night at Waco. They had snipers up on the rooftops because they had taken the high position, and they were shooting at the FBI and other people out there in the ATF. So what they did, they brought army helicopters in, and they were strafing them at night with machine gun fire with tracers to kill the people on the roof to prevent them from having the high position. And Timothy McVeigh saw this and was involved with actively going against the government from that point forward, which is one of the reasons they used him as a patsy for the Oklahoma City bombing. There were multiple CHAPE charges that were involved in the Oklahoma City bombing that did not detonate properly. There were three big CHAPE charges set on these interior columns. Only one blew, which blew up the front half of the building, along with the fertilizer bomb, which wouldn't have done much. Everything was being done in Oklahoma City bombing to use him as a patsy. Now, the reason they were trying to blow up the Murrow Building in Oklahoma City is back in the 80s, we had given Saddam Hussein, he was in a war with Iran, and we had given Saddam Hussein military-grade anthrax. That's why we kept saying that he had weapons of mass destruction and biological agents, because we had given that to him. And what had happened is when our boys went into the Gulf War, because he attacked Kuwait and Saudi Arabia wanted us to get rid of Saddam, he ended up in a situation that he didn't have the ability to do what he wanted to do with his weapons of mass destruction anymore, and because we were coming in to take them away from him, so he never even used them anyhow, and they could never find them. But what happened is we had to give our soldiers immunizations against the military-grade anthrax. The government was in such a rush to get this done, it was never tested on animals. It was put directly into humans. It was a six-month protocol normally to get tested to be able to avoid anthrax. They did it in one shot. They did it in one shot. That's why so many of the guys got Gulf War syndrome, and they got incredibly ill and sick, started having all these neurological disorders and all these internal disorders. Now, I've known about this for a long, long time, and I've got some more research that we've had that's just come evident on this stuff, so I want to come out and talk about it now. Secondly, we started using depleted uranium in the shells that were coming out of the tanks and also out of the Warthog airplanes. I believe they're the A-10s, I believe they're called. And they were depleted uranium shells. They're called tank busters. And they were coming at super high velocities. The problem is they were creating other compounds that were radioactive, and the particulate matter was smaller than the masks the guys were wearing, so they were inhaling the radioactive compounds, which went into their thyroids and also went into their testicles. And they were coming home, and they were actually giving their wives radioactive semen, which was affecting the ovaries and the birth of these children to the next and to the next and to the next generation through epigenetics. That's what the problem was. And all of this information and all of this studies, over 400,000 people have been articles and papers of all these people that have come down with this syndrome and all of the research that have been done, was all in the Oklahoma City Murrow Building. It was all there. And they had to destroy it. Secondly, a lot of the information from the Rose Law Firm and a lot of the stuff towards Clinton's, towards his impeachment and all the other stuff had been moved by the FBI to the Murrow Building. So the Murrow Building had to be destroyed because there's a chain of custody with all of these different papers and records. But they can destroy the records if they're all in one place like they did with the Murrow Building. That's why the Murrow Building was taken down, because it wanted to reduce the liability of the federal government, because the federal government had basically destroyed a bunch of lives with these soldiers and their wives and their children, because of depleted uranium and because of the squalene, the adjuvants that were being used along with this, you know, shot for anthrax. Now, fast forward. Let's look at 9/11. 9/11 in building number 7, it was a Solomon building, and it contained all of the research that had been done for the Ken LaHaye thing with Enron, which was a continuing investigation that was going to be going on with massive more arrests, not just Ken LaHaye. Suddenly that building comes down 7 or 8 hours after 9/11 hits. Now, we also have to realize that in the Pentagon, where the missile hit the Pentagon, it was not a plane, we all know that, that was the area that they had this 1.2, 2.3, or whatever it was, trillion dollars of missing investigation that was being done at that point in the military. Now it's over $20 trillion, and all of this stuff had to go away. All of these records had to go away. Plus, in the bottom of the trade towers, they had huge amounts of gold in the bottom of the trade towers and the vaults that they had probably already moved out, I believe, before 9/11 ever happened, and they either did it to pay payments to people they owed money to, or they just simply stole the gold, because that way they could say that it was all destroyed. So all of these things were examples of the problem, action, solution, the Hegelian dialectic that we talked about. All of these things, when you went to groupthink and group, all these meetings on TV, and they had these announcers on TV using the Delphi technique, because remember, the announcers do the same thing. When they're sitting there talking to you, they're in a certain rhythm when they talk. They're always sitting there. Their lips are slightly parted. They're always talking. They're always looking. They always see certain colors to invoke certain emotions from you. And then they bring on their experts. Now, these experts are part of that groupthink, part of that alpha technique. And these experts then come in and they bring in people that are contrary to what they think, and they belittle them and put them down, so they get a groupthink going on in the whole United States. Like, for instance, they interview somebody an hour after towers fall down, and the guy goes, oh, wow, that was crazy. That jet fuel caused such a fire that they had structural failures, and those columns gave out in the trade towers, and they came crashing down to the ground. How in the heck did he know that? It's complete bogus. But he knew what he was supposed to say because he was a paid crisis actor. And they had probably filmed that before 9/11 ever happened. They probably had it already filmed, and it was canned, so they released it. So they're setting up all this contrary stuff. So all of this stuff is through Tavistock, all of it's through the Rand Corporation, all of it's through the Frankfurt School, all of it's through Harvard, through Columbia, through Saul Alinsky, all of this stuff, and through Sigmund Freud, that Satanist, and all of it is being done to you on an ongoing basis. So now you understand what Timothy McVeigh was involved in. Now you understand Gulf War Syndrome, the cover-up. Now you understand what happened with Enron. Now you know about the depleted uranium, why they had to cover all that stuff up, and nothing ever came of that. Now you know about how the gold disappeared. And now you understand why the anthrax vaccine was so bad. All of this ties together for this giant cover-up. Last week I told you our country is a giant, how should I say this again in a nice way? It's a giant criminal enterprise that's run through the Rothschild, Sabbatine, Kabbalist banking cartels, and through the completely corrupt media, which is run by the owned by the Rothschilds, and all of the industrial, the military-industrial complex things that are owned by the Rothschilds. All of this is to extract more and more human capital from you, which is all they can really take from you, and to further enslave you, to bring you back into a feudal system. So I hope you guys enjoyed this brief synopsis of this, but this is a very simple primer for people. They can go back and now do all the research and all this themselves and find out that I'm telling you guys the truth. What do you think, Austin?
Man, great info, bud. Yeah, there's so much stuff on there you cover, but no, you're absolutely right. When you start figuring this stuff out and you start really seeing it, you'll actually see it on the news when you see stuff before. I told you before one time when I was back in the gym years ago, I was sitting there doing cardio, and the news was on, and they were playing this big breaking news, same thing, had specific colors on it, the banners flown across, and they brought in an expert to tell us about all this stuff. And within 5 or 10 minutes, I wasn't paying attention. I was sucked into this news. I'm sitting there watching it, and all of a sudden I'm going, oh, man, yeah. And then about a minute later, I kind of woke up out of it, and I was like, this is ridiculous. What are they even talking about? It's total garbage. I'm actually starting to believe what they're talking about. I know 100% this is totally inaccurate. And at that point in time, I started looking at things a lot differently. That's why I really don't watch the news at all. I really don't even watch much TV at all anymore. I get a lot of my news from independent sources and stuff all over the place. And it's the same thing that we saw back with the Vegas shooting. And that's why I'm going to talk about this today, because this is something, again, nobody's talking about at all. Again, Vegas shooting just completely went off the map, even though they coined it as supposedly being the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history, right? I mean, the worst mass shooting we've ever had in U.S. history. And they've answered about zero questions about the entire incident. Well, I'm still waiting. We've all requested this. There's people that I know that have already put in request this. However, this is still a pending investigation, so they haven't released it. However, it would not make one bit of difference if they released any type of footage of Paddock in Las Vegas at all or in that hotel. There has been zero CCTV footage from anywhere around the building, inside the building, on the street, anywhere that's been released that has shown any type of evidence that Paddock has been involved with anything revolving Las Vegas shooting. Period. There's not a single video whatsoever. And on quite contrary, there are many independent videos that have showed quite the opposite of 17 ambulances showing up at the Hooters Casino way down the road, way before any other incident was even going on way down the road. Multiple shootings that night in multiple areas in Las Vegas haven't brought that up at all. We still don't know how many people were injured from shots by Paddock. Why did police finally admit that they discharged a weapon in Paddock's hotel room over a month later? I broke that a month and a half ago. Finally, the report came out that an officer had a negligent discharge in the room after they swept the room in his hotel. Nobody brought this up until a month and a half later. That's kind of pertinent information. And the fact that the entire timeline changed three times at the beginning with the security guard finding Paddock before the shooting, during the shooting, towards the end of the shooting, having 200 rounds downrange through the wall and one round hits the security guard, nicely clipping him in the calf, making it for a perfect recovery injury, and he's supposedly okay, and he does his interview one time with DeGeneres after he disappears for 5 days, and they say he's not going to do another interview again ever. He has one taped interview with Ellen DeGeneres. I mean, none of this stuff is adding up. And like I said before, how many people were actually shot? They tell us there are 527 people. How many of those 527 people actually had a bullet enter their body, and how many of them broke an ankle from trying to jump a fence, or had somebody land on top of them and twisted their ankle or twisted their wrist, or got cut on a fencing while they were trying to move? Those were all injuries that are going to be reported in a police report on an incident like that, but still nobody's answered it. It's been 2 months now. We still don't even know how many people Paddock actually shot. I can't find that number anywhere. Also, too, why hasn't a single person from Paddock's personal life come forward and talked about this at all? Every time there's an incident, it's usually some guy that's crazy or has some motive, and there's already some pre-prepped story to go along with what's going on. They still have not said a single reason or motive or any type of option on why this multimillionaire retired accountant with two planes decided to bring 30 firearms up to a hotel room and shoot up a country concert. There's not one. So there's so many incidences about this that went south, and it was like as soon as they couldn't control the media, the only other option they have is damage control, disappearing evidence. Make everything go away. Nothing happened. Incident never occurred. Deadliest mass shooting in history never happened. Whole thing's off the record. Nobody has even brought it up in weeks now. That's why I wanted to bring it up today, because it's the same thing like Dad said. They had the story prepped, they had it lined up, and it did not go as planned. There were too many holes in the story, there were too many eyewitnesses, there were too many people that saw multiple shooters, nothing lined up. So the only other option now, instead of trying to push in that narrative, is make it disappear. Don't talk about it anymore. Never gets brought up. CNN hasn't referred to it. Nobody even knows what happened. Las Vegas shooting, never heard of her. Who are you talking about? Didn't happen. Don't know anything about it. That's what they're doing now. So it's very weird to see this happen, but that's why I keep bringing this stuff up, guys. I mean, why have we not seen a single video, closed circuit television video, from anywhere in the hotel, even shown this individual walk into the hotel and check in? Nothing. Not even evidence that this guy was alive on the premises before the incident even happened.
That's right.
They could have brought
that's
him
right.
up there in a body bag and dumped him upstairs, and nobody would have known the difference. And again, why did they say that this cop had a negligent discharge a month later? A month later? Absolutely ridiculous. So, yes, everything Dad said is very accurate. Also, too, this is something that I really wanted to get into today because I've been trying to do some research on it. You guys remember about three, four weeks ago, we discussed how Gottlieb, commissioner of the FDA, has absolute hatred and fear of kratom. He's going off talking about how in the last 7 years or whatever, or 6 years, you know, we've had 36 deaths directly related to kratom overdoses and only kratom. The FDA fear-mongering over kratom-associated deaths is, we're starting to find out now, was complete and total lie, as I've already told you guys. Last month, as you already know, Gottlieb went out and issued a public health advisory on kratom outlining concerns of its deadly risk. However, Nick Wing, a senior reporter at HuffPost, submitted a Freedom of Information Act request to the FDA to put a second set of eyes on the alleged deadly associations of kratom. What the FDA released under the FOIA request is now raising serious concerns about the validity and perhaps the entire motive for the senseless government fear-mongering of trying to make a natural plant a Scheduled One compound. In the report now, the FDA cited that 36 deaths have been associated directly with kratom. But the data they released shows only 8. And of those 8 reports, not a single one confirmed death by kratom only. They requested all records on kratom associated with death since 2010. All the incidences turned over to Huffington Post appeared to have been submitted, it says HuffPost, not Huffington, excuse me, submitted through the FAERS, which is the FDA's Adverse Event Reporting System. Now, it's crazy here. The first one they found on here is a 22-year-old male, extremely overweight, at 248 pounds. They go on to say, and this is the mother who filed the report, said, this is all it says in the report. My son died after consuming kratom. He received it on Friday. He died on Sunday. Prepared it as a tea. Any RX medications on list on section F right here? Yes, he was on Zoloft. Okay, so he's taking Zoloft, he takes Kratom tea on Friday, and he dies on Sunday, and they say, guaranteed, Kratom killed him, no other question about it, close the book, that's it. Okay, well, that one was enough. I was like, okay, let's keep going through this list. They have it listed online. So that with the FDA now, they keep using these reports to associate death with Kratom despite these serious life-threatening conditions or drugs that are being used. There's another one right here. The person being tested positive for Tramadol, which is a controlled prescription painkiller, and having a history of cardiac arrhythmia, goes on to say here that the individual died of a kratom overdose. It says toxicology screen was positive for Tramadol, and it was consistent also, too, with kratom. That's it. Automatically gets ruled death directly from kratom. Another one, wife of a man who died of a seizure. Medical examiner amended the cause of death to toxic effects of kratom a week after the autopsy, even though the husband had a history of seizures and was taking Dilantin, which is anti-convulsion. She went on to say, this is what she put in the report. My husband was using kratom for pain relief to avoid prescription pain kills. He took kratom regularly for 6 months. On June 23rd, he had a massive seizure. Original cause of death was terminal seizure. The autopsy results determined the cause of death was accidental, and that also he took too much kratom. Current list of prescription medications, Dilantin, which is an anti-seizure medication. Okay, so all these are report, another one here. It gets worse. A 63-year-old man on multiple prescription drugs who is a regular smoker for 40 years has a heart attack. Goes right here, says drug usage, Lopid and Metoprolol, hypertension, smoker for 40 years, died of kratom overdose. So what they've done now is anybody that had any type of contact or usage of kratom, regardless if they've been smokers for four decades, regardless if they've been on Zoloft, regardless if they've been on medications for seizures, regardless of what happens, if anything about kratom was reported, they automatically say kratom directly killed 36 individuals in the last 6 years. Now, with this Freedom of Information Act, we're starting to see the real truth of what Guttley lied to us about, trying to scare the population into thinking kratom is this unbelievably dangerous plant that's killing people left and right, and it needs to be banned and put in the same category as heroin, methamphetamines, and cocaine, which is what they're still trying to actively do, even though there are literally online right now, you can find tens of thousands of direct reports and people that have reviewed this stuff saying it has helped them come off opiates, it has helped them not get on opiates, it has helped out with all types of other issues they have had, and now the government is trying to come in. Nobody can use it. So that's a little bit backdating reporting on what we saw with Guttley Dab, but I really wanted to do some research into this, and I'm glad this guy got this Freedom of Information Act so we can actually see that what they've been telling us about kratom and what Guttley is trying to do with the FDA is nothing but pure fear-mongering and attempt to make the pharmaceutical companies have a stronger hold and push more pharmaceutical opiates. That's my opinion.
You're absolutely right. Because they've got to get remember, they've doubled the output of heroin in Afghanistan. They've gone from 5,000 or 500 square miles to 1,000 square miles from 4.5 metric tons to 10 metric tons. I'm sorry,
10,000 metric tons now.
10,000 metric tons, yeah. I mean, it's gone up and up and up. So you're absolutely right. They have to increase their user base. Oh, by the way, Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel to issue ID cards to illegal aliens. That's a special. Democratic Mayor of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel, is calling out for identification cards, call for city keys for illegal immigrants and aliens residing in the city so he can feel comfortable to drive, so they can feel comfortable to drive their children to school and have all the benefits as part of the city. Chicago is mired in debt, the middle class is fleeing, and crime is increasing, but this blithering idiot, this is my words, wants to now give everybody else more free stuff. Tucker Carlson says that all illegal aliens receive welfare and or public assistance through taxpayer-funded schools, emergency treatment in hospitals, use of roads, tax benefits for children, and more. The U.S. allows over 1 million immigrants into the U.S. every single year. Also, some of the politicians in the Chicago area are calling for troop intervention because of the amount of people that are being killed up there. So it's going to be interesting in that area to see what's going to happen and how this is going to play out in Chicago, because Chicago probably is the single most corrupt political city in the United States, maybe second to Washington, D.C., but Chicago's right up there. Washington, D.C. and Chicago, to me, would be the two worst politically corrupt cities in our country. Austin, what do you think?
Well, in my opinion, I think Chicago is going to be the first test run for martial law. If you guys saw the end of last week, Cook County Commissioner Richard Boykin, which Chicago's in Cook County, and his team met with Assistant Secretary General of the United Nations on Friday to request the organization deploy armed troops in the streets in an effort to curb violent crime and sidestep posse comitatus, which bars the U.S. military from being deployed on domestic soil. And this is not fake news, guys. This has been on multiple sites, including the Chicago Tribune. Such a measure would be the first in a new era of globalization and militarization inside the United States and would set an extremely dangerous precedent. Proponents of such a deployment feel the current level of gun violence and genocide has become far too expansive and dangerous for state authorities to handle alone, as the problem continues to spiral out of control with horrific levels of shooting. The county commissioner said the United Nations has a track record for protecting minority populations. When asked how that might differ from sending in the National Guard, Boykin said, "The difference is I'm not sure that the National Guard is so used to peacekeeping and a peacekeeping role. The UN is trained in doing this. I'm talking about whoever the UN would decide to send in," he continued to say. "I think that the Assistant Secretary General may have some good ideas outside of sending in troops. We cannot wait for the mayor to put another 1,000 police officers on the street, and I'm not sure what's going to, if that's even going to help anyways." So what's crazy right now, guys, is we're actually seeing the request, the direct request in the meeting of the county commissioner and the individuals from the UN, Oscar Fernandez Tarco, who is the UN's Assistant Secretary General, and requesting the UN be brought in for peacekeeping units in the United States. This is extremely troubling. If you guys know anything about what the UN peacekeeping troops have been involved in over in Africa for years and years and years, I mean, where they're from, this is what they do, is they come in and say they're peacekeeping units, but they give them full autonomy. So they can go in, burn villages, shoot who they want to shoot, rape who they want to shoot, and it's all under the guise of United Nations peacekeeping, because these guys are basically there under the UN umbrella that gives them literally a license to kill and do whatever they want without zero oversight, full autonomy to do whatever they want. You can read your incidences on that line if you want to do more research on it. But what's interesting about this is they're not calling for the National Guard, because they're saying, oh, well, the National Guard isn't designed to do this. First off, the National Guard can easily handle the situation. In my opinion, I wouldn't bring in the National Guard. I sure as heck would not bring in the UN. I would put the boys down at the BATFE, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, and let them actually work for their pay, since they do like to do things like shoot unarmed civilians in Idaho and kill entire families out in Waco, Texas. I would let these guys actually get some real combat experience under their belt in Chicago and do what ATF is supposed to do, or what they were claimed is supposed to do, is handle firearms. That is what is going on in Chicago. The flood of illicit machine guns and firearms into the country is at an all-time high, hence why there's an all-time high with shootings in there. Let ATF do some work and actually do some policing, since they like doing stuff like that, apparently. Let them work for their pay. That's who I would bring into the city. I would never even consider bringing the UN on soil, U.S. soil, under any circumstances. Be crystal clear, because Dave Hodges has talked about this too before. If the UN assumes control of even a minor city smaller than Chicago, this will be the beginning of the end of the United States. If any incident escalates any further from that point forward, the UN will come into the next city and the next city and the next city until any type of economic collapse or even minor incident happens. It will mark the entire end of American sovereignty. The UN can never be allowed to have any type of policing authority on on our soil for any reason. But what troubles me the most is that you guys, as well as Dad and I, have seen report after video after picture after video all over the country over the last 4 to 5 years of UN armor personnel vehicles being moved all over the country. Are they being shipped out? I don't know. Are they being stored? I don't know. I've never got to ride in one. I don't get privy to where UN vehicles get transported to, so I don't know. But when you start seeing this stuff, and now we have the county commissioner, the Cook County Commissioner, Richard Boykin, requesting adamantly that the UN peacekeepers come in and start policing Chicago, that is a very troubling thing to hear, Dad, and I really hope this does not go any further, because this will be the end of American freedom and sovereignty if these guys are allowed to even step foot on this soil in a policing role, in my opinion.
Well, they don't want, you know, Rahm Emanuel, remember, a big Obama boy, he doesn't want to have anything to do with Trump. I mean, Rahm Emanuel is, again, one of the most crooked politicians of the world. And also remember, guys, all they have to do is arm the civilian population and this will stop. It'll stop. Because the bad guys are the only guys that have guns now. That's why they shoot up the neighborhood and shoot up the towns, because nobody's going to shoot back, because all the good guys have the gun seized, because they have some of the strongest gun laws in the world in Chicago. I mean, you can't have guns there. Pretty much, it's almost impossible to have a gun. And now you only have the criminals having guns. That's what's so stupid about gun control and seizing the weapons from law-abiding citizens, because you leave them defenseless against the people that are criminals that aren't going to give up their guns anyhow. Here's a quote from Henry Kissinger from 1982 at a Bilderberger meeting. Today, Americans would be outraged if UN troops entered Los Angeles to restore order. Tomorrow, they will be grateful. This is especially true if they were told there was an outside threat from beyond, whether real or promulgated, that threatened our very existence. It is then that all peoples of the world will pledge with world leaders to deliver them from this evil. One thing every man's fears is the unknown. When presented with this scenario, individual rights will be willingly relinquished by the guarantee of their well-being granted to them by their world government. Henry Kissinger, in an address to the Bilderberg meeting in Evian, France, May the 21st, 1992. Again, today Americans would be outraged if UN troops entered Los Angeles. Now, why don't we say Chicago? To restore order, tomorrow they will be grateful. This is the psyop that they've been playing on us for all of these years, and that's why they're not going to stop doing it. They're going to continue to use the same stuff that we talked about at the beginning of this show to continue to direct the hearts and the minds and the very souls of the American population. By the way, why did George Soros promote and fund net neutrality? Here we go. George Soros promoted net neutrality through the FCC because it prevents the FCC from ending political censorship by content carriers like Google, Facebook, and Twitter, all of which engage in anti-conservative censorship. Chairman of the FCC, who challenged the net neutrality fraud, finally made it possible for the FCC to break monopolies, enforce the First Amendment, and prevent censorship. Now we'll see if it actually does these things. This is interesting to me that George Soros actually funded net neutrality. Also, what do you think about that one?
Yeah, I didn't know that. That's pretty creepy. There's no doubt about it. There's some very weird things going on with that entire aspect of it, because I read so many different sides when I was trying to do some research on that whole aspect. And the biggest thing that I didn't like, as I told you guys before, with allowing these guys to basically block content and be able to do different aspects of it. But again, we already know George Soros' agenda and what he likes to promote. So the fact that he was actually promoting it was either a psyop to try to make people go the opposite direction, or he generally liked net neutrality for a very specific reason. So I'm not sure. I got to do some more research into that and figure out exactly what's going on, because I don't know. So we'll have to do some more research on that. That's pretty weird. Also, too, though, I did want to touch base a minute ago. It's talking about the pharmaceuticals companies and what they've done now. Article by John Rappaport now. Just since November to January this year, the last 11 months, pharmaceutical companies have spent a stunning $3.2 billion on just TV ads alone for pharmaceutical drugs. The major networks will obviously never say anything negative. This is why the news, Fox, all of them will never bring up pharmaceutical stories and what's going on with any of them. If you guys even remember, there was an article that came out about a year and a half ago with Robert F. Kennedy when he talked to Roger Ailes, who was then the CEO of Fox News, and Roger said, "My news division gets up to 70% of the advertising revenues during non-election recession years from the pharmaceutical companies. That is called total control of the news. This is why, with that just said, these guys never talk about the real stuff that's going on. When's the last time you heard anybody on Fox News or any TV news outlet at all discuss that Afghanistan is now up to 10,000 metric tons of opium production now, and it continues to literally almost double on itself every single year that we're in that country? Nobody's talked about that at all. It's a wider sphere to consider here now, too. Through the Octopus Foundations like Rockefeller and Gates, through the medical and pharma agenda, gathering in the world population under the umbrella of humanitarian health care is a covert op of the highest order. How can you control billions of people, erase national borders, destroy untold stories of communities and their traditions, wage senseless wars, send millions of jobs out of the industrial countries to third world backwaters, and build de facto global management systems unless you can debilitate, weaken, confuse, toxify, and thus pacify billions of people? In the United States alone, every year, 106,000 deaths are of government-approved medications. In the U.S. and Europe, over 300,000 people die every year from correctly prescribed drugs. 6.6 million hospitalizations occur every year, and 80 million adverse effects occur every single year from different pharmaceutical drugs. That was from John Rappaport today, but I wanted to just kind of touch base on that since we were on the media and the mind control and a lot of the stuff that Dad discussed earlier. This shows you why we do not have a true media whatsoever on TV when 70% of these guys' revenue is from pharmaceutical companies, Dad.
That's why this show is sponsored by HealthMasters.com.
Yep.
We don't have people paying the show. I don't want that. I mean, we sponsor the programming. I mean, so guys, so indirectly you sponsor the programming because you're getting your multiple vitamins from us. I mean, this allows us to do the 20 minutes I did at the beginning of the show and not have to worry about taking five commercial breaks. It lets you really know about the Delphi Technique, the Rand Corporation, the Frankfurt School, the Oklahoma City bombing, and all the things we talked about. I mean, you're not going to get that kind of information from anybody else I've ever seen in 20 minutes on a talk show without a bunch of commercials. So guys, thank you. Thank you for getting your multiples from us. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for just being there all the time. We love you guys. We do. By the way, the leftists are now threatening to take to the streets if Mueller, who is totally corrupt, is fired from his investigation into Donald Trump. This is crazy. Of course, this doesn't surprise me. Former Gay Canyon White House lawyer William Schaub has warned of taking to the streets in case the Mueller is fired from the special investigation. He and the other Democrats believe Trump may fire Mueller over the holidays, which I think he needs to. MoveOn.org, a leftist organization that is funded by George Soros, has responded on its website by posting plans to roll out nationwide rapid response rallies that will begin hours after the news breaks of a Mueller firing. Trump's White House lawyers say flatly that Mueller will not be fired. Here's the thing, guys. Remember a couple months ago they were going to have this big rally all over the country? A lot of this is show and no go. They're having to pay people to go to these rallies, and finally those defeals are getting locked up and put in jail for extended periods of time, years sometimes, because of what they were doing at these rallies. And all of a sudden their little $15 an hour they were paying these protesters to go to jail over and not covering their legal expenses wasn't worth it. They're having a really hard time recruiting these leftists now and these socialists, especially when the stock market's doing so well. Now we have to be very careful, because remember, we're coming up into a midterm election here in 2018. In November, we're having a midterm, so, you know, for all the Congress guys and all the other stuff, right? So what's going to happen is there's a really good possibility they're going to crash the economy before the midterm election. I'm telling you that right now. All they have to do is contract the M1 money supply, which they easily know how to do. And if they do that, it'll cause all of this stuff to massively collapse. And guess who they're going to blame? It'll all be blamed on Donald Trump, all of it. And so that's what I believe they're going to do. Everything's focused at the midterm elections to basically take away his Senate majority and his House majority if they can't get him impeached in the meantime. What do you think, Oz?
Yeah, I think you're pretty accurate about that. There's definitely some stuff to watch out for. I mean, the whole market's doing really funky stuff right now. I mean, I bought a little bit of gold and silver again week and a half ago because they were driving the price down so far. I've always told you guys before, from people I've talked to in the industry, from people that have been involved in mining of it, currently right now, it costs around $14 to $15 to mine and actually purify a 1 ounce of, you know, 0.99 silver. I mean, actually real, true silver. And it's about $14 to $15 on the bottom end of it. So whenever you see the market artificially suppress silver down below, you know, $16, $17 an ounce and push it down below that, if you guys notice, it never goes much below that ever, if at any time currently. It pops right back up. They'll push it as hard as they can, and then it pops right back up again. The reason being is because nobody will sell it at that point. You're not going to have anybody that's actually mining silver go in and take a loss and lose money to sell their silver mining, you know, reserves that they've been pushing out. So that's something you have to understand right now. There's a lot of weird stuff going on. Also, too, today, they've shown that this massive overinflated digital cryptocurrency, which again, the blockchain technology is cool, as I've talked about before, but they're now saying that Bitcoin as of today has a market cap higher than Walmart, all of Walmart, as in the entire company, as in the thousands of super centers around the entire company, and the billions of dollars of infrastructure and inventory they have all over the country. They said Walmart has a market cap of about $290 billion. Walmart is the king of retail industry in America. Nobody else is even close. Bitcoin, on the other hand, the entirely digital creation that didn't even exist until 2009, has zero backing by any government or any bank, even if any bank in the world, and the entire world recognizes it as a legitimate currency. But yet there are very few retail establishments that will even accept Bitcoin as a form of payment. It's barely been over $1,000 an ounce for less than 12 months now, yet Bitcoin now has a market cap of $310 billion, which is more than Walmart. So I don't foresee Bitcoin going much further than it is now. I think it may go up some more if the Fed continues to pump in their dollars out of the quantitative easing and to infinity that they've done over the last 2 years. They may push it up further, but I don't know. I'm not giving you any type of financial advice. All I'm saying is be very, very careful of what you guys do in any of the markets right now with anything, because if you can't hold it in your hand, if you can't physically do something with it, if you can't put it in your safe, it's pretty much worthless. This whole digital age right now, in my opinion, is a total and complete beta test to see what the general population is going to accept as far as a digital cashless currency. And right now, it's working very, very well in the globalist favor. So just be very careful about that. And as Dad said, watch what's going on, especially with the midterm elections, because that is going to be a very, very strategic time if they want to try and crash the system, to get a lot of the Republicans out so they can get all those Dems in there to turn around and vote to impeach Trump or whatever other liberal agenda they have in the works. So, yeah, Dad, you're absolutely right about that.
Wow. By the way, research, some cancer diagnoses are showing now that kill quicker than the cancer. I'm going to repeat that. Cancer diagnoses in many cases kill quicker than the cancer. Why? Because the person gets so stressed out they have cancer, they have a 26.9-fold increase in the risk of heart disease, which is 26 times greater risk of heart disease and heart-related death within 1 week following a cancer diagnosis, regardless of its accuracy. In other words, if they tell you that you have cancer and you don't, you basically have a 26.9-fold greater chance of dying from a heart attack, whether you had cancer or you didn't have cancer. Because this is, again, the power of one's own beliefs. A cancer diagnosis may be the most traumatic thing that can befall a patient. This is what that idiot did to my mother when she was in the hospital. Within the temporary contemporary medical system, that is beyond the conventional cancer treatments themselves, many of which have life-threatening and even lethal side effects. Now, research indicates that cancer diagnoses may be as fatal as the cancer itself, dramatically increasing the risks of suicide and heart-related death in the week following the diagnosis. I wanted to share this with you guys. Here's the thing. Fear is the mind killer. You can't allow fear to come in and do this to you. It doesn't make any difference if you've been diagnosed with some awful mess. That's their opinion. It's called a prognosis. It's a diagnosis. It's an educated guess is all it is. You may go to another doctor and get the exact opposite guess. Suddenly, all of a sudden, somebody says to you, you've got pancreatic cancer. You're going to be dead within a week. Boom. I also had a friend a couple of years ago died within a week. Gone. Dead. Finished. Yep. Crazy. I mean, they have a little witchcraft broom. They wave in front of you, and they shake this doggone, you know, holly stick in front of you, and they go, oh, you're going to die in a week. I'm going to hex you. And that's how they act. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. If you don't do this, you'll be dead in 90 days. 90 days, I say. 90 days, you'll be dead. I mean, they do this junk all the time. They're not God. I've seen them proven wrong so many times. And guys, whose report are you going to believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. And my Bible tells me that Christ died and his stripes basically healed us and we can be healed. I believe that with all of my heart, all of my soul, and all of my being. But I also know that if you get healed and you continue doing the same lifestyle that you've done before you got sick, you're not going to maintain that healing. I've seen that over and over and over again. It's kind of like if you lose 100 pounds and you start eating the way you did to start with to gain the 100 pounds, you just gain 100 pounds right back. You have to stay healthy. You got to stay frosty. Get a copy of my wife's book, Breakthrough, Eat Clean and Be Healthy. It's a phenomenal book. You guys will love it for the holidays. It's a great Christmas present. I appreciate you guys. I love you too. But don't be spooked by diagnoses. Always get multiple opinions, especially when it involves major or massive surgery. Always remember that's so very important. Guys, I appreciate you. I love you. Again, thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Austin, I'll do the write-up. You go ahead and close on it.
Got it. Yeah, is it also in other news? This was just recent, again, but it's been ongoing for 4 years down in Florida now. The 3rd District Court of Appeal claimed that it's okay, essentially, to fill your yard with plastic flamingos, but plant vegetables is now illegal. Down in Miami, Florida last month, the district appeal upheld Miami Shore's tyrannical and entirely unhealthy ban on front yard vegetable gardens. Miami Shores, according to the ruling, has every right to take legal action against residents who dare grow their food in their own yards. The ruling is the most recent court case stating that Miami Shores homeowners may have virtually anything in their front yard. They may decorate with garden gnomes, pink flamingos, and even trolls. They may park their boats, jet skis, and they are free to grow whatever trees, flowers, shrubs, grass, fruits they desire. However, and all vegetables. The court's decision was based on a now 4-year-long battle of Tom Carroll and Hermine Ricketts. All homeowners will be fined $50 a day, not for robbing banks or for killing somebody or running some criminal enterprise, but for growing their own food in their front yard. That's what the government does. They interfere in people's lives. Ricketts said, "We've had that garden for 17 years. We eat fresh meals every day from that garden since the village stepped its big foot in. They have ruined our garden and my health. No one was harmed by the couple's garden. It was entirely organic, and in nearly 2 decades, not one of their neighbors ever complained. This is what they're trying to do to reduce the ability for us to be self-sufficient." Granted, it's just down in Miami Shores right now, but I'm sure with this 3rd District Court of Appeal ruling, it's going to start a precedent now that a lot of other places, if they don't agree with that agenda, if they don't like you having your own organic food, they can come in now and step in and say, "Nope, you can't grow vegetables, you can't grow food. You're not allowed to do that in your yard that you pay property taxes on, that you live in, that in most cases are paid for down there." So, yeah, I thought that was an interesting case. But other than that, we appreciate everything, guys. Thank you for buying your multiple from us and supporting the show. That's where a lot of our funding comes for this show, is through the sale of the vitamins and the ultimate multiple specifically. You guys are great about that, and we really do appreciate it all, and we love you guys. Also, too, be sure to check out the product of the week. The Cortisol Buster, which is always a big hit, is on sale for over 10% off on the website at healthmasters.com. If you guys need anything, give us a call, 1-800-726-1834. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.